They're all running away. All the fun leaves. Even Millie. I get them confused, I think. I think Walker gets me confused with them. Millie and Lily, Millie and Lily, Lily and Lily. That's all I hear. It's Lily's favorite, Millie's favorite, okay. I know which ones they are, but when he starts talking about them, I'm like, which one are you talking about? He cracks me up. No, it's good to be in church, isn't it? All right, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. My wife finally got power back on, amen? She can move on with her day now. I didn't know how long it was going to take them. Everything above us had power. It's like that one transformer blew out and it just, the whole farm was without power. So there's, I live on I own 4 acres right outside of our farm, but my grandfather owns 257 acres and there is 9 houses up there on that 257 acres. So when it all goes up, it all just is gone. So they all didn't have power this morning. So me, Daddy, and Joey are all pastors. So we all left and went to church. And everybody else was trying to figure out how to get ready this morning. The only difference in them, at least their churches are, you know, 30 minutes away from home, and mine is an hour and a half. So Leslie didn't really just get in the car and just jump down here. So it's a little bit different for them, for us, but they were all scattering trying to figure out who had power so they could get ready this morning. But I'm glad most of that is over, and hopefully the storms this afternoon down here, look like they're coming down here, won't be too terribly bad, or maybe we'll miss red level. I know everybody will be glad of that. 1 Kings chapter 19. I was doing my Bible reading this week and I started reading through these scriptures and just felt like God kind of put this on my heart to preach it. 1 Kings 19 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judea, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you just help give me the words I need to say, Lord. Help put me aside, Lord. Just let this be nothing about me, Lord, but all about you. I pray that somebody will get something out of the Word of God this morning. I pray if somebody's not saved that they would get saved before it's eternally too late. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins when I didn't deserve it, God. And you did that for everybody in this room, Lord. I pray that you just help us to get something out of the Word of God, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You have Elijah here and he's fleeing for his life and he goes on into this wilderness and he sits down by this juniper tree and he's asking God to take his life. And I sit back and I think about our lives sometimes and how hard they get and how difficult things become. And we can get to that place in our life where we sit there and say, hey, God, can this just be over? Can we just be done with all of this? And maybe not to the point of Elijah here saying, God, take my life, but to the point where we say, God, I just don't want to do this anymore. I just don't think I can handle it anymore. And Elijah's at this place in his life. Now, most of you know Elijah pretty well, right? Most of you have studied and read about Elijah enough to know. If you go one chapter back, you go one chapter back into chapter 18 and you look at verse 36, just starting off in verse 36, the Bible says, And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now you see, just a chapter back, you have Elijah standing up for God, right? And he's made this sacrifice. And he's called down the fire of God on the sacrifice, right? I would say that's a high point in his life. Wouldn't you? That's up there. I mean, he's close to God. If you're fixing to call fire down, you better be kind of with him. I don't see any of us calling any fire down, by the way. Amen. We don't have sacrifices, but you still ain't dragging no fire down yet. But I think about Elijah, and he's sitting there, and he's just came out of this battle that he's been in, and he's gone back and forth, and he said that God is who he says he is. He is the true king. He is the true God. He is the one that is in control of everything. And he calls down fire from heaven. And that fire consumes not just the wood and the sacrifice. It consumes everything. Stone, water, everything. Consumes everything and proves that God is God, right? Now you would think a man that has been through this could go through anything, right? A man that's been through that, he ought to be able to just truck through life like it's nothing. You know, we get in that place in our lives where we get on a mountaintop and everything's going good and our relationship with God is close and we've been on our knees praying about it. We've been reading the Word of God and you feel like you can just, swing over hell on one of them rotten vines and shoot the devil in the eye with a water pistol and all that good stuff. You think that way, right? You know, you I'm good. Me and God are close. We're tight. I feel close to God. But just as soon as one thing happens, guess what? Oh, woe is me. No, God. I can't keep serving you if you're going to keep putting me in these situations. See, Elijah, he's at that place where he's sitting there saying, God, I just did all these things for you. I did what you asked me to do. I was faithful. I was right there for you, God. I did everything that I was supposed to do correctly. I was on a mountaintop, but now you're going to let her kill me? She's trying to kill me. You do gather that from the story, right? They're coming after him. They want him dead. Why? Because of what he did in chapter 18. That's why they want him dead. And he's asking God to just take his life. He doesn't want to deal with it anymore. He doesn't want the struggle anymore. He doesn't want to have to deal with all the things that are going on in this life. And that's where we get a lot of times. We just don't want to have to deal with reality, right? You've got to try to get away from reality and what's really going on in this world. You know, God's still in control, right? God didn't go anywhere just because you thought that He did. He's still right there. He's still right there. You think getting out of church will solve your problems when getting out of church is not going to solve the problem. It's probably going to make the problem worse. You think quitting reading the Bible because He ain't answering your prayers or quit praying because He's not answering the things that you want done. That's not how you get rid of the problem. That'll make the problem worse. You better stay in the book. Why? Because He's probably going to tell you something later on down the road. He's probably trying to teach you something. Maybe wanting you to have a little bit of patience. Because we don't have any of that, do we? I have no patience. Am I the only one like that? All you other men are like, no, I ain't got no patience neither. Maybe won't you slow down just a little bit. By the way, it's good to see Brother Junior here this morning. He ain't been here in a few weeks on Sunday mornings, and I'm glad to see you back there, Miss Jolene. He's trying to get his strength back right now. I told him if he'd do a few more push-ups, he'd be ready to go, but he didn't seem like that was a good idea. He didn't agree with me on that one. But God may slow you down for a reason. May need you to get a little closer to Him. Let Him be in control of the situations in your life. Let's read on verse 5. It says, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." I find out in these scriptures that we find out that Elijah had a course that was mapped out, whether he knew it or not. You know, God's always got a plan, right? God's always got a plan. Even when it doesn't seem like He's got a plan, He's got a plan. I remember traveling and singing, and I remember the first job I ever took with the Anchorman. I remember leaving everything I knew. And I remember that was such a jump for me, because I'm used to just, you know, getting up and you go to a job and you make X amount of dollars and you just do that. And my wife had a really good job at the time. We hadn't been married too terribly long. And I remember sitting there saying, I think God wants me to go sing professionally. And she thought I'd lost my mind. She told me I wasn't that good. I'm just playing. She may have been right, but I faked it till I made it for 5 years. Anyways, we got through this, and I told her, I said, I think this is what I need to do. So I went and tried out for the group, and we decided we were going to move to North Carolina. And she was like, what are we going to do? I don't know, you're going to have to go get you a job, though. I do know that. She worked as a secretary at a veterinary clinic there in Randleman, North Carolina. You think Red Level's in the middle of nowhere? Yeah, look that place up. I lived in Randleman, North Carolina for a year, and I remember going through all that. I remember being gone all the time. The Anchorman wasn't like Gold City. You didn't travel in a 45-foot bus. Now, I've told you, they're a 45-foot can. It ain't comfortable. But we didn't have that with the Anchorman. We had a Sprinter van. That was cool right there now. It had two bunk beds in the back that we had built out of 2x4s. It was amazing. I mean, we were just top of the line. And it broke down all the time. Alternator went out in it constantly, to the point that you had to keep one in the van with you. I can change a Sprinter van alternator like that. We hit so many deer in that thing going through the backwoods of Georgia and North Carolina, it wasn't even funny. We'd load them up in coolers. We was all redneck. I mean, it was fantastic. And I remember you get back on after the week of singing and traveling, and you get back and boss man would say, can you hold that check? Can you hold that check for a few days? Well, brother, I got to pay my bills. I'm good for it in a few days. And I remember thinking, man, I can't keep doing this. My wife ain't making any money, but she's trying to scrounge by. She doesn't know anybody. I'm leaving her on Wednesday and not getting back till Monday. I'm traveling and beating myself to death in a van. I feel like Chris Farley living down in a van down by the river. You know, look it up on YouTube. It's good. I felt like that. But you know, God had a plan, because we sang at an outdoor date. We sang at a fair date. And Gold City just so happened to be there. Amen, right? And they just so happened to have had their bus burnt the week before. They had a different bus and it had burnt. And they had to get it fixed. And I just so happened to have a pickup truck that was available. And they needed something to pull a trailer. And I just so happened to be off that weekend after that fair date. And I drove Gold City to their dates the rest of the weekend. That's pretty cool, ain't it? God's all, it's a coincidence, right? Yeah, coincidence. And I remember talking to Danny saying, you know, if you ever need anybody, would you give me a call, maybe give me a tryout? He said, well, I just so happen to be looking for a lead singer. I said, well, you got a lead singer. He said, yeah, I'm looking for another one. Not in you, I don't care, but I'm looking for a job. I went and tried out for them and went through that process and got the job, got to move back to Alabama. Amen, got paid every week. Greatest job I ever had. My wife got a good job working at the hospital there in Gadsden, Alabama. And God was faithful, right? Now, before that, I was struggling. I didn't understand all the things that were happening. You know, I felt like I was doing what God wanted me to do, but I couldn't see it. And I was just ready to be done with ministry. I was just ready to be done with all this ministry thing. Didn't really care to be a part of all that. If this is the way it is, God, just tell me to do something different. I'll just show up to church every Sunday and I'll give them my tithes and we'll call it a day. You see, I was at that point. But God opened up another door. He said, see, you didn't understand how it was going to play out. But I did. I get a job at Gold City and go through that process and had a great time. And when I came off the road, I did the same thing. Told Leslie, I think I'm going to come off the road. She said, what are you going to do now? I said, I think I'm going to preach. You'll never be good at that. She's such an encouragement. I can only say this stuff because she's not here. And I remember asking God, how are you going to let me preach? Nobody even knows who I am. Why are you going to give me the opportunities to preach? Everybody just thinks I'm a singer. That's all everybody cared about. Every time I went to a church, will you sing for us? It's like Brother Tim does all the time. You sing Midnight Cry, don't you? No, ma'am, I do not. I retired to the song when I retired. See, God had a bigger plan. God could see things that I couldn't see. God opened up doors that He needed to open up. And He still does that. Just because you can't see the road that God's got out there doesn't mean that it's not there. And if you'll just keep following what He wants you to do, guess what? It's a whole lot better on the other side. If you try to go your way, it usually ends up wrong. It's like taking them back roads in Marbury, Alabama. You can get off on one of them and just kill yourself driving through them. And eventually, you still got to get back to 31 at some point in time. Because that's going to take you where you need to go. And that path's a whole lot easier to travel. Sometimes you just need to do what God wants you to do and quit trying to do what you want to do all the time. Quit trying to be in control of your life and let God be in control of your life. Why do we always want to do that? Are you the same way as I am? Because I want to know everything that's going to happen. I think Elijah was the same way. I think he wanted to understand, hey, is everything going to be okay? You see, God already had a plan for his life in the future, but yet he couldn't see it. In 2 Kings chapter 2, you're talking about the man that's going to get brought up in a whirlwind of fire and go to heaven, right? He don't die like me and you are going to die. He gets taken straight up into heaven in a whirlwind of fire. This is somebody special. Hey, he's going to be preaching in the tribulation. You say, no. He's going to be right there with Moses. You ought to read it. It's really good. Trust me. He's going to come back. Guess what? He's going to get his head cut off too. And then he's going to get resurrected. And he's going to keep on preaching it. Read it. It's in the Word of God, okay? Trust me. Pick it up and read it. Elijah's pretty important. He's always been important in the Word of God. They thought when Jesus Christ came preaching, they thought it was Elijah, right? They asked it. Is that Elijah? He preaches like that. They compared Jesus Christ to him. He's pretty important, don't you think? But yet at this moment in time in his life, he can't see the future. You go on and you see the next thing, he's sleeping under this juniper tree and he's woken up by this angel. And this angel has a cake and has some water for him. That'll tell you right there. I mean, ain't nothing a good nap and a meal can't fix. Amen? Something going bad in your life, go get you a good meal and take a nap and you'll feel better when you wake up, I promise. But you see also that he had a he was filled with a heavenly meal. You say, well, how do you know it's a heavenly meal? Well, because an angel fixed it. You ever thought about that? Everybody on the same page with me, okay? If an angel fixes it, guess what? It's not from this world, it's from some other one, right? Okay, we're on the same page. I know I'm not losing everybody on that one, okay? I hope y'all are still with me. I also know that it's got to be a pretty heavenly meal because it sustained him for 40 days. It sustained him for 40 days. You go into verse 8 and it says, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of the meat, of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I've eaten a lot of meals, and I know you can tell that, and you can keep your comment to yourself. Amen. My wife's a good cook, right? Most of y'all have wives that are good cooks. Some of y'all not so much. That's fine. Some of y'all shaking your head, I don't cook nothing. I've had some good meals my wife's cooked. I've had good meals that other people have cooked. My mama's a good cook. My grandmother's a great cook. But I've never eaten anything that sustained me for 40 days and 40 nights. Any meal that I've had, even the best ones I've had, guess what? About 6 to 8 hours, even if it's a really good meal, I'm ready to eat again. If nothing more than it just tasted good, and I want to taste it again. You don't always eat because you need to eat. Sometimes you eat because you want to eat. Amen. Y'all fat people need to get with me. Y'all ain't all skinny. Amen. Y'all all trying to be spiritual this morning, I understand. None of y'all were up at 2 o'clock with it hailing on your house, okay? I was. I sit there and I think about this meal that he's fed and how he's sustained for 40 days and 40 nights. Why would God do this? Because he had a journey he was on, right? God needed him to be able to do something. I also think about this. If you read through the rest of Elijah's life, this meal basically sustains him for the rest of his life. You never see Elijah waver again from this point till that whirlwind of fire takes him up. Pretty good, ain't it? Whatever he got when he took that nap and whatever he got in that meal, it sustained him straight up to the end of his life. I'd say he got a pretty good dose that day. What about you? Have you ever had those moments when you're in the very bottom and you don't understand how life's going to turn out, but then you just say, I'm going to let God just have control of my life. He can have it all. Isn't it amazing how you feel when you get up? When you get up off your knees and say, God, you can have this. You're in control of everything. I believe you. I trust you. I'm just going to follow you. When you get up, it's like all the cares of the world are gone. It's like, man, this is what I should have done all along. God will open up door after door after door after door. He'll show you what you truly need to be doing. He will help you. You say, well, I'm too old for that. No, you're not too old for that. You're not too old to serve God. You never are. You may not be able to do what you used to do, but you can still do something. Do you think God doesn't understand people get old? Do y'all think God don't understand that? You know, He did create us, right? He created us to what? Get old. He created us to break down eventually. What's the Word of God say about it? The old's supposed to teach the young, right? There's a reason why. The old got more wisdom than the young do most of the time. Most of the time. You want to get some wisdom, talk to some old people. They'll give you some. Because they've been there. They've done that. They got the t-shirt. They've already tried to walk without God and it didn't work. But they've walked a long time with Him. And they understand that's the most important thing that you can do. You may not be able to do what you used to do. That's fine. Get on your knees and pray for somebody. You say, I can't get on my knees. Sit in your chair and pray for somebody. We've been talking about the doctrine of prayer for a couple of weeks. Pray. It's important. Encourage people. Be a help to somebody. You say, well, I'm too young. You're not too young either. You're never too young. Never. You younger people, you have a whole different crowd of people that you can reach. In school or in your life and events that you're going through, there's plenty of people that you can talk to that I don't relate to anymore because I'm getting old. Amen. 35 has pushed me over the edge. But you can talk to somebody that I can't. You can witness to people in your school every single day. You're never too young. Maybe you're in that middle age. Amen. We got kids, right? And that's tough. We got little kids. You got a bigger kid. That's even tougher, I'm sure. You wide open in baseball and all that good stuff and everything else. And y'all know more than I do about all that. That's coming for me. I'm waiting on it. But you're in that middle age. And you say, well, I just can't. Because I got so many things going on. Now you still can. You just have to be willing to do it. But I don't know as much as I should know. Well, then study it and learn more about it. I didn't wake up yesterday and know how to preach. I just kept preaching because that's what God called me to do. You say, well, God's dealing my heart about doing this. Why don't you do it? Why don't you pick it up and do it? Maybe it's not what you're supposed to do. But guess what? It's a start. It's a start. You want to help? Help. Try to be a help to somebody. Tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. You say, I don't know what to say. Try it one time. See how it pans out for you. It won't hurt very long. If they shut the door in your face, it's all right. You've seen people mad before, I'm sure. People stay mad at me all the time. I'm just getting kind of used to it now. I enjoy it, kind of, sort of. They mad at me at work. They mad at me at church. They mad at me at home. Who cares? Just they're all mad. My daddy used to say that was the best thing about preaching at other churches, being an evangelist. You could bust in, bust up, and bust out, and the pastor had to deal with all the problems. I'm beginning to believe a lot of that nowadays. Just serve God anyway. Serve Him because you can. Serve Him because you want to. Serve Him because you get to. Elijah goes on and has this heavenly meal and he's sustained for 40 days and 40 nights. He fed him twice. He didn't feed him just one time. He fed him twice. If you go down into verse 10, verse 10 of chapter 19, it says, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. This is what he's all upset about. This is what he's been upset about the whole time. God comes onto the scene and talks to him in this cave. And he says, hey, what's going on? Tell me what the problem is. And Elijah says, verse 10, Verse 10, they've forsaken the covenants. They've thrown away the altars. And I even only am left. I think he was upset because he was left. I think he kind of thought maybe that he was supposed to go with them. You may not look at it that way, I do. When they came and they tried to kill all the prophets, I guess they thought maybe he should have been one of the ones that got killed too, right? Have you ever thought that maybe, just maybe, you're left here because God's got a purpose for you that's a little farther out there? That may be your purpose. It's maybe just a little bit farther out there. You say, well, I should have been gone a long time ago, but God has a plan for your life in the future. What did Elijah need to do? What did Elijah need to see? Where did Elijah need to go? Go down to verse 19. Verse 19. Elijah moves on. It says, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Elijah needed a minister to Elisha. You realize when you read and go farther on in his life, Elisha stays with Elijah. You can get them names mixed up if you ain't careful, by the way. You'll end up saying Elisha went up in a whirlwind and it was Elijah. It'll happen real easily. But you see that he needed to minister to Elisha. He needed a minister to Elisha. What I like more than anything is when you get down into verse 20 and 21, things start to change a little bit. It says, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. You see, Elijah went to minister to Elisha, right? And after he did, Elijah gets ministered by Elisha. Ain't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how that works? God always has a plan. God can encourage you in certain ways in your life. When you feel like you're at the very bottom of bottoms, when you feel like you can't take another step, when you feel like you can't go any farther, just serve Him anyways. Why? Because God has a plan for your life that you might not be able to see. You might not be able to see it. And when you get there, you might say, this is what I'm here for. To minister to somebody. To help somebody. To be able to, I went through this situation so that I could understand this person. And then guess what? They may end up ministering to you in the long run. I'll tell you a lot about my wife and things. And my wife has been through a lot in her life, and that's her testimony to tell you everything, but she's been through a lot of things, and I sit back sometimes and wonder, why would you have put her through those certain situations? And Thomas, it's not just being married to me either. Well, why would you put her through those certain situations, God? Why would you want her to deal with these things? And why would you? Because she can help somebody. You see, I see her talk to young girls at certain times, and I see her sit down with them and say, hey, this can really mess up your life if you're not careful. Why? Because she understands. Because she's been there. Because she's dealt with it. I see the things my sister's gone through over the past few years, and I sit there and go, why would you allow that to happen to her? Why? So that she can go talk to somebody else dealing with the same thing and say, hey, It's okay on the other side. It don't look good over here, but it's okay over there. It's going to get better, I promise. Why? Because God's always got a plan. She sings this song. She can't hardly sing it anymore because she cries all the time, but it says, God's got another plan. God's always got another one. No matter what the situation, how bad it seems, God's always in control. I think about Brother Art this week. Brother Art Faulkner. He lives down in Millbrook, Alabama. We've known him for a long time. They used to travel around and go see my mom and them sing back when we were kids. And they would travel around different singings. They used to come hear me. When I'd be singing close, they'd come and hear me, him and his wife, Shannon. Well, Shannon got stage 4 breast cancer. She passed away this week. She's only 50 years old. 50-ish years old. Horrible, horrible thing. She fought it for 3 to 6 months. She fought it hard, but it just took over. And I remember seeing some posts on Facebook and how she was posting how good God was. And I'm sitting there going, how do you do that? How do you say God's good in this situation? Because you're probably not going to make it out of it. When you're that far gone into cancer, you're probably not going to come out the other side. But yet she's posting on Facebook saying, God's good. Do you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? And she's given the gospel. She's saying, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? And she's doing everything she can do. You see, she couldn't go door to door, and she couldn't talk to everybody at Walmart because she was really sick. She couldn't do all those things. But what she did was she found a venue that she could use, and she used that avenue to be able to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And I can imagine if I was in Art's shoes, I'd be sitting there going, God, why would you do that? But Art said in his Facebook post that God was good and that God will get the glory out of all of this. And he said, I may not understand now why or how, but He will. You see, he understands that even though he can't see it, there's a bigger plan out there for him. There's a bigger picture, and God knows what it is. Maybe when they lay Miss Shannon to rest, that maybe somebody will get saved through that. Maybe the story that Art will be able to tell in the future will be something he can give a testimony about, and somebody will get their lives changed over it. Because that's the most important thing, right? That's the most important thing. We say it, but do you mean it? God's always got a plan. Don't get weary in the journey that you're going through. We all have a journey that we have to go through. Every single one of us. And it's a little different for everybody. But the journey is basically the same when it comes to you're supposed to reconcile the world to Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate goal. For everybody, for everyone, for every Christian, is to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. Don't get weary in your journey. Just keep on pressing forward. Just keep on putting Him first. He'll sustain you when you need it. He'll give you that heavenly meal when you need it one day. When you don't think you can take a step forward, when you think that you're just done and you can't handle it, He'll say, here. Here's you some water. Here's you some bread. You're going to be okay. It's going to be fine. You're going to make it. Because there's something out here I need you to do, and I need you to keep pushing forward. I need you to get up now, and I need you to keep moving forward. I need you to keep telling others about Jesus Christ. I need you to keep praising. I need you to keep worshiping. Why? Because not everybody will be able to, and you need to help them out. I need you to be faithful because they may not be faithful, but I need you to be faithful. Why? So that they can see you. They can see that you're faithful. Trust God. Give Him your life. He died on the cross for you. Live for Him. If He's willing to die for you, be willing to live for Him. You're going to get some pushback every once in a while? Yeah, you probably will. That peer pressure will come on and it'll be tough and it'll be hard and it'll push back, and you won't understand how to handle a lot of it, but it'll be all right on the other side. It always is. So Miss Barb comes in place. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, I'd get that settled today.